All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Coast City Comics Club podcast. I am Tristan.
And I am Chad.
And this is going to be a very fun thing that we're doing. And Chad is, because Chad is in Gorham, or wherever the hell he is, space, I don't know. He's someplace
Gorham,
really,
is how they
really
call it.
Far away. I think our delay is probably about 3 seconds, so if it gets a little weird, that's the reason. But it's fine.
I'm doing the best I ever did.
You're doing the best that you can.
The best that
yes.
I can.
That's great.
Now I go away.
Thank God. So today we're going to be doing Chad's choice of a ridiculous, oddly depressing comic from is this a 70s book, I think, or early 80s book, I guess.
Yeah, this is we're doing What If number 45. And this started in 1977. This actually came out in 1984.
Okay.
I take that back.
So 84.
Yeah, but it's from the first What If run.
Yeah, this is downright depressing. And it's also very.
Yeah.
One thing about this that I think is interesting is that it plays into the whole idea that none of the Big Two's stories are ever go away. You basically get one of these written in the 60s and then it comes back every 15 or 20 years and just recycles. This definitely has a Planet Hulk vibe to it. And it's essentially, you get a lot of the kind of like Planet Hulk revenge stuff from when he, or I guess World War Hulk stuff in this issue.
Right. Yeah, because this one, the what if is, what if the Hulk went berserk? And to like anyone who's read the Hulk, I mean,
right.
I don't know. That seems like a ridiculous what if question, because I'm like, yeah, he
it's
goes berserk
literally
all the time.
Like,
what are you talking
all
about?
All he ever does. But this is interesting to me because I have not read the 60s Hulk stuff, so I don't know anything about. I mean, I know the origin and all this, but the stuff about torturing Rick, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, there's a lot of death in this one.
I mean, sure, there's like, lots of murder, but I mean, there's also, there's just the
torture.
The U.S. military, yep, in order to torment the Hulk, has captured Rick Jones and is torturing him, and they torture him to death. Like, they literally are electrocuting his brain in some way that is too much for his body to handle and kills him. That's...
Yeah.
Not a... was this in the comics code?
Let me look at the cover. I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no, it's on there. Yeah, because it's weird because normally the what if is like right at the beginning, they'll be like, this is how it regularly happened. You know,
right.
The Watcher shows up and says that. And then they'll be like, but here's the slight difference that occurred. And honestly, the slight difference is that Bruce Banner didn't push Rick Jones into a ditch.
Yeah.
So they both get caught in the radiation blast. And then the major difference is that, as you were saying, Rick Jones is mentally connected to Bruce Banner. So if Rick Jones feels pain, Hulk feels pain.
Yes.
It doesn't seem to go the other way.
I don't think Hulk feels a lot of pain, I think, is the deal.
Right.
I think it's,
I guess that's
it's
true.
Much easier to torture puny Rick Jones than it is to torture the Hulk. And so, yeah. So essentially,
yeah,
they use him. They use Rick as the as sort of bait to bring the Hulk back. So after the gamma explosion happens, now they're looking for the Hulk and they want to bring him back in to either kill him or torture him or test whatever on him or who knows, whatever
they keep calling a big, he's a big ape. That's what they keep calling him.
Whatever the military would want with a Hulk. Who knows what that could be?
Yeah.
Could be anything. Weird.
But the Hulk wants to straight up murder from the
yeah,
jump.
I find
he is shouting, kill Ross, kill, 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 just screaming
yeah,
at the top
die,
of his lungs
kill,
of the desert.
Kill, die. which is also a complete change. It's not even about smashing. It's about ending life.
Yes. And like he's like ripping up tanks, he's throwing down helicopters, like pretty standard Hulk fare. But yeah, like the verbiage is definitely different. I thought it was funny too, because they when they talk about like the Hulk in the beginning before they show like the twist or the butterfly effect or whatever, it reminds me of like the 80s Hulk cartoon.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, he's good natured, I guess, until a flying saucer shows up and then he has to punch it, you know, like he's okay.
Yeah.
It's especially with a mortal Hulk out now.
Yes.
Where I'm like, he ain't good. No, he's a fucking monster.
And that's, I mean, and the way that, so later on the Fantastic Four show up at some point in this comic, but Reed Richards, when he's talking about Bruce Banner, it sounds very much like someone describing the serial killer that lives next door to him. He's like, oh, Bruce Banner, he's a lovely fellow. He was always very quiet. I don't know. He's too obsequious. You would never, he would never hurt a fly. And it's like, oh boy, yeah, that's exactly that lady describing Dahmer in the like CBS interview. Not so good.
Yep. Yeah, he was so nice. Just blood-curdling screams in the middle of the night, though.
Yeah.
Oh. And I always wondered, who would use a chainsaw indoors? But I don't know.
It's just, yeah, it's fine. But, yeah, so...
I stole that joke, for the record. I stole that joke from my friend Randy. Oh, nice. I just want that to be on the record.
So, all right. We do have... We have one of my favorite things in the world, which... is we only get like one panel of it, and I feel like the only time I get this Hulk is in like fruit pie ads from the 70s and 80s. But it's like so it's good. Hulk sitting under a tree with a squirrel, and I love that like he's just like bleh, like concrete or something, where he's like just sitting there and just animals like sit on him. He's like a capybara. When he's chill, he's so chill that every animal in the forest wants to be around him. And I love that. I want more of that in my Hulk stories. And it feels like all of those like 70s and early 80s Hulk stories were just like, here I am. I've finally found peace. I'm underneath a tree and I'm so happy. And then, puny humans want to smash me with a tank. So I go and I destroy everything. And it seems like that's pretty much every Hulk story of that era.
Yes.
Unless it's hell is a tiny Hulk or whatever that insane storyline was.
Yeah, no, it's it kind of lends to that the Hulk is a force of nature.
Yeah.
And that man is the problem, you know.
Oh my God, the monster was
Yep. It was man the whole time.
Of course it was. So he's got the he's in the Hulk's head and vice versa. And so they decide to torture him. And doing so, the Hulk basically comes back. And he's on his way. Like, they didn't need to keep doing what they were doing. But the military just kept pushing it until they finally killed Rick Jones. They just, like... Hulk was coming back. Like, they did not need to do it, but
he was. And they also, in classic 80s military fashion, locked up the scientists.
Yes.
Like anyone who had any information on what could possibly be happening, they're like, put them in a room.
Yep.
And don't let them out. If word gets out that these scientists, what they know, we're done.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the scientists are just like, I hope they're taking care of Rick Jones. Why? Because he's got radiation poisoning? Yup. It's just like, what are they doing? Oh, they're electrocuting him like he's a, like they're jumping on Mitsubishi Gallant. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on.
Like, also, another thing I have to comment on for this issue is this is my favorite version of Thunderbolt Ross. Like, he is like perfect mustache, like he looks like a southern gentry, like he's
a Kentucky
right
colonel.
He is so hateable. He like you just look at him and you're like, oh, this dude is an asshole. He's like a cop's cop, and you're like, oh, I am not into this dude. And you know, you get that just literally. They don't even, I think he just says like a little, he has like one line, but his like his giant face is in panel and you're just like, oh, this guy's a douche.
Yeah, I mean, everything that happens is his fault.
Yes. I mean, obviously since the beginning, everything has been Ross's fault with the Hulk. Like, he's pretty much,
yeah,
he caused it, he caused the problem, he made it worse. He just keeps, like, he just keeps poking it, like, he just keeps kicking the hornet's nest, and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse every single time.
Yeah,
no good. So, so then we start getting into this, like, World War Hulk kind of situation, where we've started bringing in other, like, Marvel superheroes to deal with this situation.
Yeah, because Ross tries to escape in a helicopter when the Hulk finally shows up at the base and starts throwing what is thought to be nukes. Yeah. He's just hurling nukes like footballs. And they're like, wow, it's a good thing those are empty. Thank goodness.
Until he finds one that isn't, which he does.
Yeah, that's later. But yeah. Then Ross goes into hiding and he's like, holy crap, what are we going to do? So he's like, I know, I'll call the Fantastic Four. So the Fantastic Four, as you mentioned, is just like, I can't believe Bruce would do something like this. This is, I wonder what could have happened. He couldn't have been experimenting with gamma radiation. That would be stupid. Yes. And then they get over there. They try to talk him down. And that's when this book takes an even darker turn.
Yeah.
Besides electrocution, torture, death.
Yeah. It goes much, much further down the road to... and basically because of the comics code... The deaths are very interesting. The deaths are handled in a way that I find, I don't know, it's weird because he does go like, we get a full-on like Seagal neck-snapping, like Insano version of Hulk. Like, there are so many neck snaps in this book. It's insane.
Yeah.
But I also, like, I think the reason that he didn't kill, so he kills the Thing in this book. But the reason he doesn't kill the Thing, he kills Ben Grimm, I think, is because they still wanted to be like, oh, superheroes can't die like that. That would be terrible.
Well, until later. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
I think it's I honestly, if I could use some wrestling terms here, I think they wanted to protect the Thing. Like, the Thing still has to be tough.
Yes, I agree.
So what ends up happening is that him and the Thing get at it. Human Torch tries to torch the Hulk. Of course, Hulk just bats Johnny away. Johnny's alive. And then the Hulk and the Thing start going at it some more. And then, of course, the Hulk finds another nuke.
Yes.
Detonates it next to the Thing and the Hulk, and then, much like the last issue we read, mysteriously, Ben Grimm is back to being human.
Yeah.
And he's carrying... I think he's just carrying Banner back.
No, other...
One
or the other. Yeah, I can't remember which one.
I think he's just carrying Banner, and then he transforms back into the Hulk, and then grabs Ben Grimm and snaps his neck.
Yeah, that... It's rough.
And then the... Yeah, I'll see. But then of course Johnny freaks out, and then the Hulk just decks him and kills him. Of course, because you know, he's still just a guy on fire. Yeah. He's not like stronger than anybody else.
Yep.
And so now we have half the Fantastic Four dead.
Yeah,
and just a couple of panels.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is weird. I mean, it's very Reed-esque to have him pretty much just be like, yep. Looks like Johnny and Ben are dead. I guess we're gonna have to move on to some other superheroes. He's so nonchalant about the death of the two closest people to him in his life. He's like, just like, okay, well, I guess we're on to Plan B. Fuck it. And this is the era of Donald Blake Thor. So. Donald Blake smacks his cane on the ground, becomes Thor, and comes to to fight the Hulk.
And he runs into original armor Iron Man on the way.
Oh, right.
So
because,
they show up and we're like,
because of the time period. Because this would be simultaneous.
This is like Avengers.
Early Avengers. Okay.
Yeah. So they both show up being like, hey, you going to go kick the Hulk's ass? He's like, yeah, I was going to do the same thing. Let's go together.
Yeah.
They start fighting. Of course, Iron Man takes lead, which is interesting in this situation.
Yeah,
but
that's not great.
And then, surprise, despite their best efforts, Hulk crushes him.
And
just squeezes him until he dies.
Squeezes him
in the Iron Man
death.
Armor.
Yep.
Yep. And then, and then we got, at that point, Thor's like, all right, like, shit is real right now.
Yep.
And they start going at it. And this is also the era where if Thor is separated from his hammer for a minute, he turns back into Donald Blake. So that's the other old rule that they used to have for Thor. So basically, the Hulk knocks the hammer away from him. And Thor's like, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap, basically, like, trying to fight him. And then Thor snaps the Hulk's neck.
Yeah, because he doesn't know what else to do. And that's a...
He doesn't know what else
I
to
mean,
do.
And so that is a surprising number of neck snaps for a Marvel comic, especially one of this era. So we literally have him... The Hulk is so crazy that he's like, he's just yelling about Ross while he's attacking Thor anyway. But basically, Thor snaps Hulk's neck. Hulk transforms back into Banner. And then Thor just sends down a bolt of lightning and burns his corpse.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the issue, is the burning corpse left behind. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then Ross just standing out there being like, boy, we fucked
He's
up.
He's like, we've got a lot to answer for. Yeah, you fucking think? We have much to atone for. It's the last line.
The weird thing about that, too, is that all these heroes are dying, and he's just like, give me Ross, give me Ross, give me Ross. And, like, Ross is literally just in the cave, like, poking his head out, being like, how you guys doing?
Right.
Just like, did he say anything about me?
it's like that scene from Futurama. They should have just handed the president over. It's like, oh.
Yes.
We just, there he is. There's Ross. Cool, bye. Yeah, I don't know. This era of What If is crazy. It's a huge, huge issue too. It's like 41 pages, which for a for a comic of this era is ginormous. It's the art is great. I really dig it. I'm constantly being. I mean, as we go back through this, because I was never a Silver Age fan. This is obviously not Silver Age. This is Copper Age. But I was like. I don't know. I just ignored a lot of this stuff. And now going back, the art is so phenomenal and it's so compelling that I miss it now when I don't see it in modern books. I used to be really down on like the Silver Age guys that would come into the store because we'd always get those dudes. You know, they're in their 50s and 60s, and they're like, do you have any Silver Age? And I'm like, no, but the current comics are great. You can read a comic book that is fun instead of, like, sealing it in plastic and sending it to CGC and putting it in a box and never looking at it again. You know, we have ways that you can enjoy comic books that are written by modern people who are still alive. And those people were always like,
you can do that.
They're not comic books anymore. They're something different. And it's like, I guess I actually kind of get it because there is a feel to this, even being like, this is a precursor to modern comics. This issue is like, this is a dark, in big sarcastic air quotes, this is a dark issue in the way that a modern dark issue would be played, where it's, you know, like Spawn or any of those kind of books where instead of being any kind of nuanced version of what darkness is, of what sadness or, you know, actual reality is, it's quick cartoonish deaths like a slasher movie. And it's like, oh, no, superhero died, Superman's dead or whatever. And it's like, you know, if you want to call that a dark comic, I guess you can. But it puts stakes, I guess.
Yeah, well, this run is actually, like, this What If run in particular is basically the groundwork for like probably the last 20 years of stories.
True.
Because in this one, like the very first one is, what if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four?
Yep.
Okay. You know, there's the, like obviously that we've.
This includes the what if Jane Foster were Thor. That's in this run as well.
Jane Foster's Thor. What if somebody else was bitten by the radioactive spider and it has another, like a girl that got bit? Jane Foster is Thor. What if Rick Jones became the Hulk, you know?
What if Rick Nova's Jones became A-Bomb and everybody was like, that's not great.
Exactly. What if Nova's powers were split between different people? What, you know, like, what if Spider-Man's clone lived? What if Dr. Doom became a hero?
Literally all of these things. That Dr. Doom becoming a hero was like an entire series.
Yes. What if Hulk became a barbarian?
Right.
What if Gwen Stacy lived?
Yeah. You know? It's insane.
Like, there's so many of these ones.
Yeah.
What if Wolverine killed the Hulk? You know? Like, I'm actually kind of shocked just going through this list how many. What if Captain America had been revived today? That was the ultimate Captain America that they
there
did.
Was.
What if Uncle Ben?
There
had
was
lived?
Also one what about if, Conan in the modern age. I think there was a Conan
not in this,
versus Wolverine.
Not in this one,
or
later
one
ones,
of those.
But
yeah.
What if Loki became Thor?
Oh yeah.
You know, like it's kind of funny.
It is. That's like it's like they just literally went back and they just kind of doled out all of these stories over time.
Oh, yeah. What if Beast and the Thing continued to mutate?
Yep.
Like, it's all been done,
it's
guys.
It's all been done. Yeah. What was the Thing mutated into something very strange? That was a weird one. I don't remember the era for that one, but he got all pointy. I do remember him getting, like, a sharpened head and looking kind of stupid.
Yeah. There is one here I almost picked for this, but it had a panel that was literally so problematic that I was like, we can't do this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was a joke one.
Which one?
And maybe we can do it. What if number 34, but it's, you know, like half of it's by Hembeck and stuff that. So it's like super jokey. But the panel, it's just like real quick, just like snap what ifs, like one panel. And it was, what if Luke Cage is white?
Oh.
And I looked at it and I just read the dialogue that went along with it. And I went,
No, that's
just like,
yeah.
I was like, this is,
yeah, that,
we're
yeah,
not
that
this
sounds
one.
Problematic. That sounds very problematic. Yeah. Weird. Yeah. This, I love the what ifs. And I love the new ones as well. I like they revived it last year. And there was a handful of those books that were really fun. One of them became like a collector book for some reason. People got really excited about the idea of Spider Punisher for some reason. That became a That became kind of a thing for a hot minute. I don't know if it's still a speculator book, but it was for a minute there. I don't know. But back to what I was saying with the darkness in this, I don't know.
This is
the turning point. Like this era is like right where you start getting everything turning on its head and them starting to be like, what can we do? It's almost like a grab for ratings where things are starting to kind of slip. And they're like, oh, what if we do, somebody dies, some dark thing happens that has not happened prior to this, that will attract new readers.
What year did Frank Miller's Daredevil start?
Ooh, that is too difficult for me to answer without looking it up on the internet.
I know. I don't know either. And I guess, when did Jason Todd get died? You know, like, that's...
Ooh, that was 90s.
Was that 90s?
Yep. So, it's tough because technically Frank Miller's run started in 79, but I mean, his, like, that's not his, like, iconic run.
Yeah.
So
Jason Todd died in 1988.
88. Yeah, so
88.
That's yeah, I guess really so I think, Daredevil was the first of those things. But Daredevil was always allowed to be different because Daredevil Daredevil is the perfect example of why books with shitty characters are always better than books with great characters. They just tend to be better. Like, nobody was paying attention at Marvel to what Daredevil was doing. They were like, here, take it, do whatever the hell you want. No one gives a shit about Daredevil. He's just not,
yep.
He's not selling. It's not a thing that we even need to worry about. Go nuts. And so he went nuts and made it into something that was one of the best comics going. And that's what keeps happening with all of these shitty characters. Booster Gold, you know, like, for a wild, weird example. Like, those are great comics because no one's paying attention. You know, every time somebody grabs a little thing.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Perfect.
Yep. Yeah. It's the same.
No one cared.
Same scenario.
No one cared.
Yes. And for good reason.
Actually, all of Marvel's space. Like, when they Abnett and Lanning took a hold of it, they were just like, yeah, I don't care. Write a story about the space characters. Like, nobody cares about these guys. And then it was awesome. Yeah. And it's like, he's like, can I have Nova rip Annihilus' heart out through his throat? And they're like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. Because nobody cares about Annihilus. Nobody cares about any of these characters. And
right,
it feels like they never learned this lesson. Is that, like, it feels like this lesson has been taught over and over again, that if you let smart, creative people have a project and do what they want with it and don't fuck with it and don't send an editor to look over their shoulder every second, you get a great product. When Sean did White Knight, I literally talked to him. He was at issue 6 and he was like, I don't know, I finished whatever. Like, he'd finished so many issues in and he was like, yeah, I haven't talked to my editor yet. I was like, you mean you finished the script? Well, now the pages are all done. And it was like, he had very, very little editorial oversight. He was basically like left pretty much to his own devices to do whatever he wanted. And by doing that, it became this amazing story. And I think that if the editor had come in and been like, oh, I don't know, I think that the Joker wouldn't wear his pants that tight or some dumb shit, you know, you're just going to keep fucking up over and over again until you ruin the cool story that you've worked on.
Well, it's like The Simpsons. Did I ever tell you the thing about The Simpsons?
Which, which one?
So when they had them do the Christmas special, because they picked him up from the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was exactly. It might have been like Al Jean, but basically when they got the contract after the Christmas special was done, and they were just like, yeah, we want you to come on, and he was just like, great. Then he got the contract, and he put in the contract for The Simpsons, they're not allowed to give him notes. And they said, yeah, okay, sure, because they didn't think it was going to go anywhere.
Amazing.
So, like, it's in their contract as The Simpsons, like, that Fox cannot give them notes on what to change or anything like that. Which is part of the reason why, like, I mean, like, the, you know, once you get past the first, and probably halfway through the second season, once it really finds its legs, you know, like, there's so much stuff I could definitely see, like, Fox being like, ah, you can't.
Yes.
And it's like,
especially with them constantly being, like, especially the constant digs at Fox and all of that.
Oh, yeah. This garbage network we're on.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I love it. I don't know why we're talking about The Simpsons, but I do love The Simpsons.
We're talking about creative control, damn it. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. And speaking of creative control, did we even mention the team on this book? I don't even remember who the team is on this book.
No, we're bad at that. We're
bad,
bad
at everything, but this specifically. Oh. Okay, this is Peter Gillis, and Ron Wilson penciled it. Aiken Garvey and John Morelli lettered. I don't know half of these guys.
Yeah, but the cover.
The cover is Sienkiewicz. Like, straight, yes, straight,
and it's awesome
Sienkiewicz.
Looking.
Beautiful, beautiful cover. Yeah, and very memorable. Like it's one of those covers that sticks with you. I've definitely like seen that and been like, oh, I have to check this out.
One of the things I like about this book is that the writing is like perfectly dated.
Oh.
And that Marvel sense where like everyone has like a nickname for everybody. Yeah. Or it's just like everyone's like busting everyone's chops.
Yes.
Which I enjoy. You know, just like you know those war boys upstairs, and they'll be like, "Oh, what are you talking about, big brains down in the lab?" It's like,
yeah,
nobody talks this way.
No, that is definitely a Marvel thing, and I think that's definitely something that Marvel brought to the table that was different from any of the other offerings in the world when they came into existence, was the fact that they were busting each other's balls, and. Like everybody had some sort of irritating nickname for somebody else. Spider-Man pretty much had irritating nicknames for everybody. Shellhead, you know, whatever. And then the really forced ones like Knucklehead, which never really, Knucklehead really never got there for obvious reasons. It's the most forced of the nicknames.
Yeah. I mean, when he's already short, you could just call him pint size. You know, like, it's not that hard. This was back when Wolverine was short.
Right.
Though, but that was...
Is he back to being short? I haven't ever taken a look to see where he compares.
I feel like it's artistic license at this point. Yeah.
I bet...
It's not like like in an Infinity War where, like, he's, like, very, very short. Like, him and Pip the Troll are, like, height.
I miss him being, like, less than 5 feet tall. I miss him being like tiny. I think his original height was 5'2", something like that. But like they would have him very small. And I miss that. It's a good look. And it's, you know, but Hugh Jackman's just too pretty. You know, he rubs off on everything he touches, so to speak. Oh shit. Yep. Man. So I'm sorry I came into this so late and I'm so jarred. This has been the craziest fucking day of like
Tell me about my day. Tell me how you're feeling.
Holy shit, man.
Let's talk about your father.
Coast City Comics. Okay. Oh my god. Let me tell you. This reopening thing has been a thing. It has been a crazy thing. We've been we've only had a few total dicks show up who have been like unable to understand the concept of complying with things. We only had one tourist put on a mask out back that we had on a shelf. That made me want to murder everyone in the world. Like, you know the Krampus mask we have out back? Some dingus tourist grabbed it and put it on for a photo opportunity in the middle of a goddamned pandemic. I'm like, there's not enough Lysol in the world to spray these fuckers down and keep them behaving properly. You know, there's so many like masks down over the nose, so much of this shit, and it's like, it's so exhausting. My day,
I can
my
imagine.
Day today was not great. This was definitely tourist hell today.
Yeah.
So I came home and
I've seen...
I didn't know where I was when I got home. That's why I was like, oh shit, Chad, hold on, give me 20 minutes. I need to fucking get my shit together. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's quite all right. No, I've seen poor David's Facebook post too. I know he's not. I worry about him. I really
he's
do.
My muscle. I have. Yeah,
really?
I need a tough guy to work the door. So I chose David. And that's what he
makes sense.
But it's so insane. I have to have a person. Like, I can no longer do. It can't be the same thing we used to do where you can have one person running the store. There have to be two people.
Yeah.
I have to have someone there to monitor the number of people through the door, to tell people, to comply with state regulations. This is how you comply with state regulations. Use the fucking hand sanitizer so that when you touch something, your hands are sanitary. Just do it. Please, please do it. And right. It works a good portion of the time, but when it doesn't, it is so, so demoralizing.
Yeah, I would imagine just very uncomfortable, too.
Yeah, there's that, too, because there's a lot of, like, having to talk to people like they're children, which is never fun.
Right. Right. And then I'm sure you're getting opinions on how they feel about things. Yes. And,
definitely yeah. We had one that I thought was going to turn into something, which, thank God. Really? Yeah, we had one that looked... Basically, if you were going to pick somebody out of a lineup that was going to shoot the place up, he would be number one with a bullet.
So oh, boy.
Yeah, no pun intended. He was dangerous looking, and I was like, oh, God. He looks like he had just, like, literally spent all day drinking, like, weight gain fucking, like, pre-workout, red-faced, angry veins.
Oh, no.
Like, had to go over and tell him to put on a mask, or you couldn't be in the store. Yeah. And I was like, I know you want to start something, and this is a thing now. And it didn't turn into a thing, thank fucking God, but it looked bad for a minute.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's, oy. I just want to sell comic books. Is that so fucking hard? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. It's so goddamn yeah. hard.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I've been talking with some other people about it, just like how it's the different degrees of where this has gone, whether it's whether people view it as a scientific thing or like a philosophical thing, right. Or, you know, like it's gone in so many directions at this point that it's trying to wrangle it in, and you having to be the wrangler,
yeah,
essentially at this point, because there's nobody else stepping in to wrangle
right.
this.
And the know? Problem is my biggest problem right now is that I don't know what level to put everything at. Like, I don't know what to yeah. tell people. Okay, so somebody comes in with a neck gaiter. Do I tell them, well, scientifically speaking, that's actually worse than not wearing a mask at all, so mm-hmm. get out until you get a mask? Or what do I do? You know, somebody comes in that has one of those masks that has the little breathers in it, and do I have to explain to them, you are breathing everything out through those vents, and then when they close up, you're using the mask, so you are protected, but you are endangering right. us. So the point is to save us as a group. This is a group project we're all together in, trying to keep this thing from infecting us all. And so if you're not doing the project right, and you're not helping me,
yeah.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
Yeah, it's a tough ask nowadays, for sure.
It is. And I mean, it's not like anyone is telling anyone any of this information. Like, just because somebody is wearing a breather that has a vent on it, it's like they think that they're doing right because they've got an N95 on, you know? It's like, this is the best mask. This is the one that, you know, that no one can get. So I'm doing the best thing.
Yeah.
And you are doing the best thing for you, just not for us, because that doesn't ventilate. Yeah. It doesn't filter outward. It filters inward. Ugh. Welcome to COVID talk.
Let's listen. I think this is important.
Yeah.
I think this is something that needs to be discussed, because we've talked about having the store closed
yeah.
on this podcast before, and where your head was at with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now having it open, this is a very different situation. You're only open for like 3 hours a day.
We're open 4 hours a day.
Four hours a day. And it's mentally breaking you.
That might be an exaggeration. But the whole thing has been breaking me, because I was not making enough money to survive prior to being open. We opened up and now I am making enough money to survive. But it's
right.
it's requiring an awful lot of, like, I don't know, new skills that I never expected that I would have to bring to bear on running a comic shop. It's, I yeah. mean, I'm used to having a lot asked of me as a person on Congress Street. I think that's the difference that I don't think a lot of people are understanding when they're like, how come, you know, your competition was open, you know, 3 weeks into the pandemic? The answer is because they don't have a place on Congress Street. Congress Street is different than every other place. The number of people who come through the door that are falling down drunk, like, and unable to comply with these things.
Right.
Like, my belief in being fair and equitable to every person and giving every person the benefit of the doubt when they come through the door and being like, you know, you've got a giant backpack, you're clearly homeless, it's fine. You've been drinking, you're not hurting anyone. If you're keeping to yourself, it's okay. If the person is so inebriated that they are literally in danger of hurting A, themselves or someone else, obviously they have to leave. But now there's a third problem, which is they're just drunk enough to not know how to keep their fucking mask on. So those people mm-hmm. I have to make judgment calls about. And that's also very difficult.
Yeah.
it's too much.
Yes. I will say, for anyone who may not familiar with Congress Street in Portland, Maine. Let's specify it's Portland, Maine. We're not in Portland, Oregon. I don't know how many times I've called an ambulance.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, and I can tell you that each time an ambulance shows up, they know the person that they're picking up by their first name.
Yeah. It.
You know, and it's not uncommon. It's you know, it's probably a failure of society. Yeah,
there's a lot of that. I mean, this is.
And now it's all coming home to roost in the midst of this COVID situation.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I certainly can't imagine what it's like for anyone who has to work in an ambulance or anything like that. I'm watching these people who are like, they're coming out and they're like, all right, put on another fucking Tyvek suit. We've got to go talk to somebody. And it's like, wow, this is, it's unheard of, obviously, but man. I don't envy them. I don't envy anybody in this, honestly. There's no one who's in an enviable position in the middle of this thing. But, yeah, we definitely do have some major issues with the populace. And it's a lot of it is that this is a very drunk town. You know, no matter how you slice it, there is a massive alcoholism problem in this town. Right, like, I mean, not even talking about the homeless community or any of that. Let's just talk straight up, like, you know, Gen Z. Let's talk, you know, like everybody from there on up is, you know, has a pretty serious drinking problem. So it's a weird town to try and do this in. I mean, I remember the first year do you remember that dumb thing that the Chamber of Commerce does? Like Merry Holiday something, some dumb shit. Get a bunch of like rich white people loaded and then loose them on your fucking store.
Yes, I don't remember the name of it, but yeah, they put them up in the hotel.
Oh my God. This was the worst thing. This was when I stopped talking to the Chamber of Commerce, basically. Like, I did this thing and it was like, hey, raise some money for whatever, blah, blah, blah. We had literally the worst business day we've ever had. We made less money that day. I think we literally made $18 that day. I could be making that number up, but it was so bad. My brain wanted to explode. But during the course of that day, we had 50 drunks, like just rich people with red wine spilling it all over everything in the fucking store. And I was like, I'm going to lose my mind and strangle one of these old ladies soon. Holy shit.
comic books? They still make these things?
That's always my favorite. You would not believe the number of times I hear that phrase. Comic books? They still make those things?
Oh, I know.
Yeah. An audience, you have worked at the store, so you have heard it before. My favorite one is when people pick them up and they say, what are these things, DVDs? I've heard that a lot of times, too, which really cracks me up.
Yeah, there's a lot of that, of just people coming into the store being like, you sell this stuff? Like, and you stay open and stuff. It's like,
huh, like,
yeah, dude, we're here, aren't we? Just like,
no, do you want to buy a comic shop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I don't know if people...
No, it's just a very big, expensive diorama that we've made. Welcome.
Do people come into the store specifically to, like, do you think they're just there to insult me sometimes? Just to come in and be like...
Oh, absolutely.
Huh. What are you, like some kind of a fucking nerd or something? I mean, the one that everyone knows and expects with comic shops is the... oh, God. Oh, it's like one of those things from that funny show on TV. It's like a Big Bang Theory. What are you, like Terrence from Big Bang Theory or something? Like, Cowish Plarka Plark. Hey, yeah, say Cowish Plarka Plark again. That's so funny when he says that, Cowish Plarka Plark. That's the funniest word ever. Oh, boy. I sure am a simpleton. Yeah. Fuck.
Oh, it's been a week for Mr. Gallagher. I'll say this.
I'm here to talk about comic books.
Yeah. So anyways, when the Hulk kills the Thing, okay, if we could, I saw myself and Ben Grimm being like, boy, I bet the sweet release of death would be great.
And it was.
Yeah.
All that panel was missing, by the way, is Ben saying thank you as he fades away.
Yes. As he floats away, flipping Reed off at the same time. Looks like all you had to do was hit me with a nuke to fix me, Stretcher.
Oh my God, yeah, seriously.
You asshole.
One asshole.
It's a bunch.
Yeah, so sure.
So what are our takeaways from this? Retail is hard.
Retail is stupid.
And now
it's even harder. Yeah.
Okay.
And comic books are fun. So you can read them anyway, even if you don't want to come into the store because I've portrayed it as some sort of hellscape.
I mean, how many people do you think are being compliant?
Oh,
coming in, just
it's
looking
98%. Around? It really is. Really is. It's just, it's unfortunate because, I mean, like anything else, you see 100 people in a day, and two of them slap you in the face. You don't remember the 98% that didn't slap you in the face.
Right.
It's those two people that you're like, you know, that, I wish that dude had not slapped me in the fucking face. Like, that hurt.
Yeah.
And that's...
It takes one shitty person to ruin your day.
It's absolutely true. Like, it's very difficult. People, I think the one thing that Gen Z and some of the younger people of the newer generations have brought to the table that makes me so happy is aggressive niceness. And this is a thing that my generation never knew. My generation was all about being a dick to each other to show that you liked them. You know, oh, you're my friend. Ah, looks like you're fat and stupid because you're my friend. And meanwhile, you go, ha,
man, Gen X rules.
Yeah,
so hard.
Jesus fucking Gen X. And so that kind of shit was like what we got used to as the way that we expressed ourselves. And now these new generations coming in and literally like being aggressively nice, like trying to say you are cared for and I care about you and your life and all of these things. I appreciate that, honestly, because it is like, when you do get people, when you do get those two people who are really awful during the day out of your 100 people, two people who are aggressively nice can cancel that out. And that's, it's just being nice, just being a person doesn't do it. But like those aggressively nice people who take the time to actually like say, hey, you're doing a great job. I really like what you do here. You know, like the store brings meaning to my life and all these things. People say things like that to me a lot, and it does help. like yeah. all of the terrible things that happen in this crazy store, it balances them out, I think, in a lot of ways.
It's funny because I think David as being David like that aggressively
is that
nice
person. He absolutely
person.
Is.
And I think it's funny that you said that, like, growing up, we were just like, everyone's awful to each other. And if someone's being nice to you, they're being an asshole.
Right. Exactly.
And I remember, like, David would keep stopping in and be like, hey, I'm just checking in on you. How you doing? I just want to see how you're doing, buddy. And I'm just I took it as a condescending.
I'm not surprised in
this.
Any way.
Right. No, but it's because I'm just like, what the fuck? I know what I'm doing. Like, fuck off, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
But then I realized that David is just a beautiful
yeah,
soul.
Absolutely. It is true.
You know?
It is absolutely true.
And I'm such damaged goods that I can't
you,
handle
you and me both. We're both in the same boat, you know? On that. And it's like the Sam Shoops of the world, you know, because David, I can't imagine what it was like when David and Sam Shoop were working together in one place. That
harmony.
I would imagine that Treehouse Toys emanated a glow of happiness and kindness that would transform people as they walked through the door.
Oh, legit rainbows all the time. Like, literal, like, birds flying up on their shoulders, like, singing a little tune, you know? Turtles and little squirrels, like, playing instruments. Like, they're, like, in some type of jug band, and everyone's having a great time. Like, I wish that I was wired at this point to accept
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
And I can't because I'm broken.
It's so hard. It is so hard to see it. But I do...
The 80s and 90s devastated my psyche, and now here I am.
Totally. I mean, but you can recover from it. I think to a small amount, David has worn me down in a lot of ways, where I think that I can, when people come in and they say something nice about the store, I no longer am just like, yeah, but, you know, I fucking, you know, I spilled paint. Or whatever, like, the thing you like about it, that was an accident because I'm fucking stupid. You know, like, I didn't,
or
I don't
just,
know.
What do you want?
What do you want?
I'm not giving you a discount.
Leave me alone. I'm eating my raw fish in the corner. Yeah.
Danny DeVito penguin. Just like.
God, we are fucking ruined. It is terrible, but, you know, is this what people want to hear in a podcast? I don't know.
I hope so.
I think from what I know about podcasts that people like, I think it's mostly about people yelling at each other in like a thick Boston accent. So far, last pod on the left and things like that. It seems like it's like really angry people yelling in Boston accents.
Or just getting like a really raspy voice like Manzoukas.
Yep. Yeah. I think it's one of those.
Yeah. Just be like, what is going on?
I need,
you know, like all the
I
time.
Need Paul F. Tompkins. I think maybe that's what we need to do. I mean, Paul F. Tompkins will do the podcast. I mean, I don't think he's allowed to say no to podcasts. Eventually he will have done every podcast. So I'm looking forward to seeing him on this one.
It'll be a delight.
Will
for sure.
Be. I'll wear
that smooth talking man. I would love to
I'll
have
wear
him
a special
on here.
Bow tie for the occasion.
Yes, whatever it is, I'll be definitely underdressed.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
In comparison to Mr. Paul F. Tompkins, of course.
Oh shit, man. You know,
well,
this is
here we
this
are.
Was the weirdest thing that I've done in a long time. I think we really broke down some barriers tonight. I think that this was a really healing episode for all of us.
Yeah.
Very much like the Hulk.
Yeah, no, I think this is good. I feel like this is the formula that we've devolved into.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that we talk about the comic for a little while, then all of a sudden they're just like, yeah, but let me tell you about fucking Tuesday. It's like,
I mean, honestly, I'm not going to lie. Maybe that's what this is, because, I mean, we're just like kind of throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks at this point. But, I mean, I've been looking for a place to talk about the world of what I'm doing, like the world of the comic shop and like all of the things that go on in there. And I think this is a great place to do that, because the like none of the other things seem to make sense, but I think that we can I feel like we can devolve into this kind of nonsense from time to time without anybody tuning out.
Yeah. You and I both have knowledge of it at this point, so it's like
yes.
We can speak to the highs and lows.
We all have horrible anecdotes about terrible things that have happened. God. I think I might have a little, like, at least a touch of PTSD from some of this stuff. Because literally I said that and I flashed back to that one night when I almost got killed. And I was like, yeah. Oh, God. That was rough. Do you remember that? You remember the guy in the fucking full-on red leather biker suit? I think Tony was working that night.
Yeah, I don't think I was there for
that one.
He was
dressed like a Formula One racer, and he had a helmet in his hand. But like he was like okay. Full on like red leather pants and jacket, skin tight. He was holding his helmet in his hand, and he walked in and just stared at me. And I realized that he was holding his helmet in a way that it was basically like a cudgel. Like he was looking at me, wouldn't say a word. I was like, hi, can I help you? And he just looked at me. And I was like, okay. I'm going to fucking die. Tony, I believe, was behind the counter. But I was like, I was the one that was right in his way. And he was like 3 feet away from me. He was in engagement range. I was just like, I don't know. I feel like if I back up, he's going to come at me. I don't know what the fuck is going on here. Tony will not make it here before I get one right across the face. So I'm not sure what's going to happen here. And he just started talking about, God, what the fuck was it? It's something about the red phone or something. He was like, the red phone, I've got to answer it. And I was like, you can't use our phone, buddy. I don't know what. Rite Aid has the red phone and I have to use the phone. And I was like, oh boy, this guy has had a fucking psychotic break and he's decided to wander in here to take out his psychotic break on me. Like he just beamed in from fucking someplace wacky and he's like, I'm going to kill someone now and it's going to be you because God told me on the fucking Rite Aid phone, you know, Jesus or Freddy Krueger or somebody called me on the Rite Aid phone and told me to go murder some guy at a comic shop. And eventually he just like left. He just kind of like, we were like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he turned around and left. And I was like, so convinced I was going to get killed. I was like, I don't think I've ever been that convinced that someone was going to murder me.
Yeah. Yeah. That the first location where the merchant company is now.
That's where this happened.
Yeah, boy, we've got some stories from that place for sure. There was it's a lot nicer now in that area. And I dare say we're the ones who started the transition.
I would very much say.
Don't go there at night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's okay.
The 600s was a demilitarized zone when we moved in. The reason we were able to afford to have a store there was because people didn't want to walk in the area where our store was. The same reason that any artistic venture or anything gets started in the shittiest of Soho areas and then Soho turns into the nicest place on earth. You know, we just like you go in there and you make it so that people want to see it and then oh shit, now it's too expensive for you to live there. And so that's we basically drove the price of our own store to the point where we couldn't afford it. And also our landlord wouldn't fix anything, so that didn't hurt.
Oh boy. Yeah. That could be a whole podcast, honestly.
Yeah, it sure could.
Just talking about that.
Yeah. I would have to have a lawyer on board so that I didn't say anything that got me sued. But,
That's fair. Yeah. Cause there was that time I almost got killed too.
There sure was.
Yeah.
Dude, there were,
cause luckily we had that fire hazard in the back or else I would have got beat the shit out.
Yeah, because somebody wanted to steal that sweatshirt that I stole from Tony.
Yes.
Tony ordered a sweatshirt that was too nice for him. And so he was like, you take it. And I was like, sure, I'll take it. Fuck it. I'll wear a weird Tokidoki sweatshirt. I'll feel a little weird, but you know what? It's nice and it's comfortable.
You know what? These times are a little weird. So let's embrace that.
100%. So yeah, you know what? We'll come back to how Chad died next time.
Next week. We'll find out how Chad almost died.
Was almost killed by a group of crazy people behind the store. Stay tuned.
We'll tell that and the story about the guy with the McDonald's food. Because that's one of my favorites.
That's one of my favorites, too. Maybe because it was my bon mot, but you know. anyway. Awesome. Thanks, Chad. This was fun.
Hey.
I got really confused halfway through. I enjoy the fact that basically I was like too stressed out to concentrate on the comic. And so we got really, I did a bad job at the first part. And then we got this fun little, I don't know what the hell this thing is at the end. So I think we're onto something.
You know what it is? It's the Coast City Comics
it
Club.
Is. It sure is.
That's
we're
what
just
it
talking
is.
About talking comics and Congress Street. Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. It's good to see you, Chad. Have a good night. And and everybody, please support Coast City Comics. Buy things from our website. You can come in. We're open from 2 to 6, from Wednesday to Saturday. We're doing curbside pickup and all that other shit. You can follow us at Coast City Comics and at Coast City Comics Club. Or is that it?
Coast City Comics
yes.
Club. Yep.
And those are the things. Please do those things.
Yeah.
Do it.
I think we broke 100 followers on
Holy
Instagram,
shit.
Which is
that's so many followers.
Surprising already. It's not many in the grand scheme of things, you know. I'm not a pretty girl on Instagram or anything, but we're doing all right. You know?
You're pretty enough, Chad. It's fine.
I'd like to think so.
All okay. right. Oh, you thirsty bitch. All right.
Tell me I'm pretty, everyone. Please.
All right. I'll see you all later. Have a good evening. Goodbye, right. Chad.
Goodbye.
Oh, shit. That was fun.
Yeah.